The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So hello everyone, and greetings on this beginning of the week. And this week what I'd like to do is to pair up for these 5 days teachings about five things that tie us down, five things which bind us, with five things that untie us, which unbind us. And I think often this tradition of ours tends to have a lot of lists for things that are the attachments and the defilements and what brings us suffering. But to clearly link these to their opposite, that which moves in the other direction, I think will clarify some of what this Buddhist practice is about. So the first, so these five will be raga, dosa, moha, moment I can't remember the Pali for the fourth, conceit and ditti, views. And so these are sometimes translated into English. The first one is greed, but there's another word that's a better fit for greed. And the word raga is often translated into English as lust or passion. And then there's aversion or hostility, delusion, and conceit, and speculative views, being caught up in stories and opinions. And the opposite of those, because a variety of things, but ardency and determination is a kind of desire, healthy desire. Restraint and avoiding is a healthy kind of aversion, in a sense. And and instead of delusion, there is insight and understanding. Instead of conceit, there is a powerful form of confidence that we might almost say self-confidence. And then instead of the speculative views, being caught up in opinions and all that, there is a real understanding. So the first one, raga, pairing that up with ardency, with determination, perseverance, engagement, a desire to practice. And here we point out that there's often an assumption that Buddhism is critical of desires, that all desires are somehow wrong, and the problem of life is that we have desires, and the ending of desires is the whole point of all this. What we're ending is unhealthy desires, desires which keep us limited, in bondage, caught up in themselves, and we're awakening within us, desires for freedom, desires which are healthy and healing and beneficial, and that it not just simply awakening healthy desires, but also letting them become strong. A real sense of ardency, of ardor, of dedication, getting oriented and organized, like this is important, and really doing it. Some people, life and our life energy behind this. This is what we're doing, no question about it. And this difference between desires that bind us and desires which untie us, that free us, is such an important distinction, and that plays itself out in all five of these that we're going to talk about this week, that it's a distinction we want to learn to be wise about, to recognize the distinction between that which brings strain, brings stress, brings despair, brings contraction, brings feel kind of limited and narrow, versus that which helps us to feel expansive and open and happy and free. The narrow and contracting does reinforce conceit, the tightening up of the inward focus of suffering. That suffering brings is a birth of a certain kind of very tight kind of self preoccupation, whereas the expansive movement of the path of the practice of possibility of freedom tends to free us from excessive self preoccupation, from this tightening around self, and with that it gives room for there to emerge all kinds of wonderful qualities of heart, inner qualities of love, of compassion, love of freedom, love of truth, love of peace, all kinds of things that come that are freeing of self, freeing of the self preoccupation. So on one hand, for today, we have a raga. And raga, as I said, is often translated as lust, sometimes as passion. And there is a kama raga, which is the lust or the passion for the senses. And there's the lust for ditti raga, the lust or the passion for views and stories. What it is a strong, intense form of compulsive desire. I think of it as a drivenness that desires which has us by the nose, and we have almost no choice but to follow it or be pushed around by it or give into it. It's very, very compelling. And so compulsive passion. So sometimes in modern English, the word passion is a very positive quality. And when it's used to translate Buddhist texts, it's really a strong, very strong, compulsive force where there's no freedom in it. A compulsivity that involves suffering, which is the original, I think, Latin meaning for the word passion. The passion of Christ was the suffering of Christ. And raga is one of the fundamental sources for suffering, for bondage. It is one of the ways that three poisons are listed. That raga is something which is poisonous, and so you might protest a little bit that, but you have to appreciate that the definition of whatever raga is that it's a poison. It's something which hurts, something has barbs and thorns in it that are often not seen, because the promise of compulsive desires of different kinds, the promise is a promise of pleasure. It comes along with imaginations of pleasure and how wonderful it'll be and how much good it's going to do us. And so we're tricked sometimes by the imagination, by the future, what the possibilities are, so that we're not really present for the cost of these compulsive desires in the present moment. But it becomes clearer and clearer, this kind of exploration, when we meditate. To argue about desires without meditating probably is not going to be very productive. But as we begin meditating and getting quieter and stiller, more mindful, then we start seeing the cost of what happens in our minds. And something that seemed fine in daily life, because we're not really that sensitive as we go about daily life, we see that meditation is actually quite limiting. It's quite not only limiting, but it's quite undermining of ourselves, or brings a kind of stress and tension that is very different from calm, quiet meditation where the mind is open and relaxed and present. And so in meditation, it's a wonderful laboratory to see when the shortcomings of of compulsion, shortcomings of passionate cravings and clingings, the passion for power, the passion for money, the passion for the lust for money, the lust for power. Exactly the English words we want to use to translate raga is not so clear. But the raga is not something that goes away quickly. It's also something which slowly over time fades away. And one of the meanings of raga is a die, and the movement of the practice is viraga, which is a fading of the die. So fading of lust, of this drivenness. And how does it fade away? Well, partly by the opposite. There has to be a strong desire. And it's the desire for freedom can be as strong or stronger than any compulsive desire we have, provided that there is not compulsion in that. There's not tension or strain in that desire. The Buddha emphasized a lot of words for having strong desire for practice. Ardency, ardor. Sometimes it's translated into English the word striving, a word which really is resisted by Western English Dharma teachers. Even myself, I hesitate to use the word striving because English speakers will often feel tense from that and like straining if they're striving. It's almost synonymous with strain. But the determination, the perseverance, yes, a big yes. That's why I like the word yes, because it has this uplifting and opening quality. To practice with a yes, this is what I'm doing. I'm practicing on the path of freedom, practicing yes to be present here. And so we are allowed in Buddhist practice to have a strong dedication, strong devotion to the path of freedom. And which might mean that we give it a big priority in our life. We maybe clear the table, clear our lives of a lot of the things which distract from that. Some of them might be worthwhile in their own right, but we have, you know, really an important thing to do, this path of freedom, and to feel that desire, to feel that awaken, and to heed it, to listen to it. And yes, this is what I'm going to do. And certainly that would be nice to make that yes as a counter to the ways in which we desires limit us, constrict us, undermine us, drain us, or bring us immeasurable suffering of all kinds. To have another path and to feel the possibility of saying yes to it in a strong, determined way, this we're allowed to do in Buddhism. A message which some people don't hear. They hear the opposite, almost, like you just accept and be present and in some kind of gentle, soft way, but to don't try a lot. But trying with this healthy desire is one of the great pleasures of life. So the pleasure of practice with enthusiasm, the kind of enthusiasm that helps the mind quiet and become peaceful. And as I said, the laboratory of meditation is one of the great places to discover how there can be strong, healthy desire in a way that helps bring greater peace, greater calm, greater settledness. Calm, peace, and strong ardor can go hand in hand. And thank you for this. And I hope this has given you something to consider and for you to spend some time the next day to see if you can find out the physical, emotional, mental distinction, sensations, experience, the difference between a compulsive desire and freeing desire. And if you can see that difference, maybe you can set your freeing desire free to support you in your life. So, thank you.